And great job this morning, guys. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Say it. Say the Lord is good to me. And His mercy endures forever and forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are excited about Reverend Todd Bailey. Todd's been with us several times. Todd's a good friend. Todd always stays at my house when he comes. You know, most guest ministers don't like to do that, but he always wants to stay with me and Miss Margaret at the house. And he always has a flight that leaves like at 5 o'clock in the morning, which means you have to get up like at 3 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, praise God. Well, he lives in Colorado. You know, that's a long day for him to get back. And so even leaving that early is still 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening before he gets back. Praise God. But we are excited about Todd coming, and we know that he will bring a good word from God to us. But hook up and believe. See, it's not just his responsibility. If you're a mature believer, you understand that. It's not just it's never just the speaker's responsibility. The crowd very much affects how much they receive from that speaker. So come expecting. Amen. What do we used to say around here all the time? We say our expectancy, our expectation is God's invitation. Our expectation is God's invitation. How many of you want God to feel welcome and God to move? Amen. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. I want to continue something we started last week called Real Faith That Really Works. Real faith that really works. Praise God. Sometimes what people call faith is not actually faith at all, and that's why it doesn't work. But in Mark 11, 22, glory to God, hallelujah, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for verily, like I said last week, don't argue with the verilies. Verily I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, you know, a mountain can be any type of problem that you're dealing with, any type of obstacle that you're dealing with. It could be a mountain of sickness or a mountain of financial woes or mental mountain or whatever it is, you know, a problem with some sin. But whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Can you say amen? Amen. And then let's not forget the next verse. Verse 24 says, therefore, or really, the word therefore there, you know, means a lot of things. He could have said, therefore could have been translated, you know, accordingly or similarly, or so in the light of what I just said to you, when you pray, you know, Mark 11, 23 is not a prayer. That's you just commanding in faith the mountain to be gone. You can do that, but you can also pray and believe you receive. So when it comes to prayer, that's what Jesus is talking about. Likewise, when it comes to prayer, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. But Mark 11, 23, again, tells us three things. It tells us that you have to believe something, you have to say something, and you have to not doubt. You believe, you speak, and you don't doubt. Faith believes and speaks. And every message that we do, you know, it can be on marriage, but you'll kind of, you know, emphasize just certain aspects. It may be a 10-part series, but you're particularly one particular thing that, you know, you'll be emphasizing in that message. Well, in this message, we're really emphasizing the speaking part because I felt, you know, that I've been lax in preaching and teaching on that enough. So we're really emphasizing the speaking part. So we believe and we speak. And when we speak our faith, we act our faith. Doesn't matter how much you really believe in your heart, that the faith is in your heart has to get out. It has to be released. It has to be activated. And when we speak our faith, we activate it, which in turn activates the power of God. It releases the power of God to come on the scene and to move those mountains. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So we speak to sickness or lack or depression or mental oppression or fear or sinful desires. Glory to God. Well, you think Jesus, you know, spoke to a tree. If a tree hurt him, do you think cancer would hear you? Amen. Or arthritis would hear you? Or back pain would hear you? Or neck pain would hear you? Or high blood pressure would hear you? Do you think circumstances would hear you? Whether they be financial, mental, whatever? Well, mountains. Mountains. Speak to the mountain, Jesus said. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't argue with Jesus. Don't argue with the verilies. Now, I want to give you something. Matter of fact, our ushers have something. Go ahead and pass these out, guys. I want to do something practical with you, something that'll help you. They have a little handout here. And, David's in the back. Help him out there. Praise God. There's enough for everybody to get one. And just hang on to that for a minute. But I want to give you something practical to do concerning healing and health, and particularly the confession of your mouth. So I want to give you a five-verse prescription. Everybody say a prescription. A five-verse prescription to take, just like you would take a prescription a doctor gives you. Glory to God. You know, Proverbs 4, verse 24 says, God's word is health, or the cross-reference says medicine. God's word is medicine to all your flesh. There is no greater medicine than God's word. Say it out loud. God's word, is medicine, to all of my flesh. Amen. You know, if a doctor gave you a prescription and he said, I want you to take these pills three times of the day for the next month or for the next 3 months or for the next 6 months, take one in the morning, take one in the afternoon, and take one before you go to bed at night. Amen. And you know, you know that he's saying, look, millions of people have had this itch you have, this rash that you have, this symptom that you have, this pain that you have, this infection that you have. But when you take this medicine, you will be cured. Absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, you know, the infection will be gone. The nerve will be healed. The swelling will be gone. Whatever it is, you would religiously act on the word of that doctor. You would trust the word of that doctor. And you would immediately go out and buy that prescription. I mean, you know, you'd run to the drugstore to get that prescription because you want to be rid of this thing, this infection or whatever it is. And, you know, you would take it according to the directions. You would pay very careful attention to the directions. And you would take it exactly as the doctor prescribed it. Wouldn't you? And haven't you? Amen. Glory to God. You wouldn't take it for 2 days and say, well, this isn't working. I'm not going to take it anymore. Nobody does that. No, you take it, like I said, religiously. You take it according to the directions. You would take it when you felt good, and you'd take it when you feel bad. Well, here's a prescription based on five scriptures with five confessions, just five. You can have a lot more than that if you want. But just five, so as not to overwhelm you, so as not to confuse you, but five very powerful scriptures and five confessions to make along with those scriptures, glory to God. And I want you to take it for the next 30 days and then as needed. Actually, I read along the lines of healing almost every single day of my life because, you know, if you don't live, that kind of ruins everything else, don't you think? So that's important. Glory to God. So take as needed. This will cause you to receive healing if you need healing. It will improve your health. Sometimes people say, well, I don't need anything particularly. I just need my health to improve. And it will cause you even to walk in divine health. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. And I want you to commit to it. I want you to commit to it just like you would if a doctor gave you a prescription. Are you listening to me? See, this is God's medicine. There are some powerful prescriptions than natural, but there is no more powerful medicine than God's medicine. And God said His word is medicine. Glory to God. There is no doctor greater than Dr. Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And no greater medicine than God's word. Hallelujah. So God's medicine always, 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 without fail, works when you take it in faith. It won't work unless you take it in faith. But you are going to take it in faith. Can you say amen? Amen. So take it, believing it's working in your body. Take it when you don't see or feel any results. Glory to God. Did you hear me? Because medicine doesn't depend on feelings. You never got a prescription that said, take this when you feel like it. Or take it when you feel like it's working. No, the doctor would say, what's the matter with you? Take it, whether you feel like it or not. Medicine depends on efficacy. It depends on its ability to be powerful and its ability to produce and its effectiveness. Medicine depends on you actually taking the dosage prescribed. Can you imagine somebody calling a doctor and saying, doctor, this medicine doesn't work. It's not working. He says, well, did you go get it like I told you to get it? And he says, yeah, I got it. It's right here by my bedstead. Are you taking it according to the directions? He goes, no, I'm not taking it. I mean, you'd think they'd lost their marbles, wouldn't you? But that's the way it is with God's word. It's like John preached on, I think it was Wednesday night. A lot of people have big, beautiful Bibles, especially in, you know, in the 60s and 70s in that era. And you'd display them on the coffee table or you'd have them by your bedstand. But it doesn't do any good just because you have one by your bedstand or have one on a coffee table. You got to get it in. You got to read it and get it into you. You know where most people kept their Bibles when I was growing up? All cars in those days, you know, there was a back visor, a back ledge. What do you call that thing? Back dash in the back of a car. Cars don't have that. And people would come to church on Sunday morning. They'd throw it on that back dash, and that's where it would stay till the next Sunday morning. So, you know, when I came along and Bill came along and Dean and Sherry in Minnesota, when they came along, you know, every meeting you'd go to, people would say, you got your Bible? You got your Bible? Because people came to church without their Bible. Amen. But you got to get it into you. You got to get the medicine into you. That's when it does you some good. Can you say amen? Amen. So take this medicine 3 times a day. Commit to it. Commit to it. And do it. Don't do it haphazardly. Don't do it carelessly. Don't do it willy-nilly. Don't do it just to check the box and say, I did it. That won't do you any good. That defeats the purpose of it. Amen. No. You want to get meaningful results? Do it from your heart. Value what you're doing. Value the confession that you're making. And believe that it's working. And understand something. Understand something. You can do this in any area of life. These 5 verses and 5 confessions are about healing, because that's what I felt impressed to do with you this morning. And while we're teaching on these 5 verses about healing, I'm going to continually interject teachings on faith that really works. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, we're going to give you these things, but in the midst of it, I'm going to continue to teach on faith and continue to talk about the importance of the words that we speak. And I'm going to reiterate, that means I'm going to say the same thing over and over again on purpose, because that's how we learn. But you can do this when it comes to any area of life. You can go out and get your own scriptures and find scriptures about for finances. I find scriptures to overcome depression or overcome fear or overcome some mental oppression of some kind or overcome some sinful habit. Amen. And make confessions based on those scriptures. Can you say amen? So 5 confessions based on 5 powerful verses about healing, 5 verses that are God's prescription for health and healing, and each one of these verses reveal the same thing to us over and over again, but each one of them reveals certain truths to us that are extremely important. And then here's some of that in interjection now. Remember, real Bible faith that really works not only hears the word and accepts the word as true and believes the word, but it releases what it believes through words. Faith must be acted upon, and the greatest action of faith you will ever take is the words that come out of your mouth. Amen. Faith believes, faith speaks, and listen to me carefully, faith keeps on speaking regardless of how things look or feel. I said faith keeps on speaking, you know, just like you keep on, I've always emphasized, keep on believing, but you got to keep on speaking. And not saying anything negative or that contradicts or goes against what you're saying. Yes. Glory to God. We walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, dear God, if I was walking by sight just these last 3 or 4 days in a couple of different areas of my life, if I was just didn't know anything and just walked by sight like most Christians do, then I'd think, this don't work. None of this works. None of this is true. None of this works. But it don't make a thing in the world to me about what my sight or my feelings have said to me these last 3 or 4 days. Because there have been hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of times that I've had a 3 or 4 day period or a 3 or 4 week period or a 3 or 4 month period or sometimes even a much longer period that looked like, according to what I could feel and according to sight, that it was not working and what the Bible promises was not true, and I ignored it and paid no attention on it and kept my sight on Almighty God and continued to hold fast my confession of faith and believe what God's word said and came out victoriously on top every time without fail. Amen. That's why I like, and anybody likes it, and anybody would repeat it that knows anything at all about faith, what Smith Wigglesworth said all those many years ago. He said, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe God's word. Praise God. I said, praise God. And listen, so you got to keep on speaking. Your body, your mountain, circumstances, inanimate objects, your body, we saw that very clearly last week. The tongue is a little member that controls the whole body. Your body will respond to God's word spoken out of your mouth in faith. It will obey God's word. But again, that doesn't mean you won't ever have any symptoms to deal with. That doesn't mean the devil won't challenge you and try to get you to fear and to get into doubt. But your body will respond to and obey what it consistently hears you say. So what are you saying? What are you saying? Glory to God. Amen. So just keep saying the word. Keep saying, in this case, keep saying, I am healed. keep confessing what you believe based on the Scriptures. Because again, faith has two parts. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. I've said it for years. I'm going to keep on saying it. If you get in faith and stay in faith, you'll always, always overcome. Glory to God. You'll always get results. You know, Hebrews 6:12, and there's other verses you could look at, but this is the classic one. Hebrews 6:12 says, we inherit the promises through faith and patience. Faith and patience. But what is patience? It's not what most people's modern definition of it. This Greek word patience here, biblical patience or endurance or steadfastness, simply means you don't quit believing because you have adverse circumstances. You don't quit believing because you have circumstances that contradict what you believe, or you have symptoms, or because you don't see any change over a period of time. Or even if things get worse, you see faith that keeps on believing. That's what patience is. It's just simply faith that keeps on believing. So it's through faith and faith that keeps on believing, amen, we inherit the promises. So, in other words, you have to stay. Everybody say stay. Stay. You have to stay in faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's believing. Amen. Amen. Now, we walk by faith, not by sight. You have to stay in faith. I've always emphasized, especially to you guys, that you have to believe and keep on believing, regardless of the circumstances that you believe and keep on believing. Amen? And that's true. But wait a minute. Let's think about what is faith? Faith is not just believing. It's believing and speaking. It's belief. Throughout the Word of God, we see that principle. Taught are examples of it. Faith is not just believing in your heart. It's believing and confessing what you believe. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. So you believe and speak. Speaking activates your faith. And the devil and the circumstances and your body listen to and obey the words you speak in faith. So we must believe and keep on believing, and we must speak and keep on speaking. That's why Hebrews 10:23 tells us to hold fast our confession of faith without wavering, without staggering, without doubting. Hold fast your confession of faith without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. Glory to God. Somebody says, well, that word faith in Hebrews 10:23 is literally hope. I know, but it means faith that you have hope in. If you dig deeper into that, you'll see that, you know, we separate faith and hope because for teaching purposes, and we need to do that so that people don't put it off into the future, you know. Hope says I'll get it sometime. Faith says it's mine now. So we make that point. That's an important, tremendously important point. But, you know, hope and faith are closely associated throughout the Word of God. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you don't have any hope, then there's nothing for your faith to believe for, to give substance to. And so like the USB Bible translation, or not the tribal translation, the USB is actually a study given to people to help them translate the Bible in other languages. They translate Hebrews 10:23 this way: let us hold fast to our confession of faith in the unshakable things we hope for. Bottom line, you have to hold fast your confession of faith. Glory to God. And when you do that, you get results. So we continue to speak what you believe and what the Word says about you, without wavering, without staggering, without doubting. We say, bless God, I am healed. I am delivered. I am free. I am blessed with financial abundance. I have a sound mind. I love that song. I have a sound mind. I am free from fear. I am. And you never, never, ever, 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 never, ever make any kind of statement that denies or goes against what you speak by faith. So if you're healed, then why are you saying, oh, I'm just so tired and weak? No, if you're healed, you're not tired and weak. Yeah, but I am. Well, you call those things that be not as though they were. You say, according to the Word of God, I'm strong. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Amen. Glory to God. We got to have $200. We got to have $200 before the end of this month. I thought you believed God met all your need according to his riches and glory. I do, but we got to have $200. No, you don't need anything. I have to be careful of that. I need. No, I believe that I have an abundant supply, and when the bill comes due, I have all the money I need. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God, it's mine. Talk like it's mine. Act like it's mine. Remember, faith that really works always calls those things that be not as though they were. Yeah, but it's not like I'm free. I have a desire to smoke these cigarettes. You say, I have no desire to smoke these cigarettes. I'm free in Christ Jesus. I am healed. Yeah, but I feel so weak. No, I'm strong in the Lord. We're not denying symptoms or circumstances. We're just denying them the right to rule and reign in our lives. And we're just simply saying what God says. Amen. And so we say that. We say those things in faith, even if thoughts and symptoms and what we see and feel says it's not true. Now, it'd help you if you'd have heard last week, so keep that in mind here. Miss C. Newsom said this in her wonderful, wonderful little book, The Life of Faith. She said, perhaps there is nothing spoken of in the Bible which is quite so hard for most Christians to understand as to call those things which be not as though they were. We are to believe and say we are healed, we are delivered, we are blessed, and we are free in spite of pain, in spite of wrong fleshly desires, in spite of weakness, and even though things may seem to get worse in the natural. Glory to God. These things are already ours. So we just take them by faith and we say that we have them. Can you say amen? Now here's one of the best examples I've ever heard of calling those things as be not as though they were from Brother Hagin. I've heard him tell the story many times, but I'll read it to you to save time. Because his story that took him 15 minutes to tell takes me 30 minutes to tell. But he says this, he quotes, you know, Romans 4:17. You know, God called Abraham the father of many nations. He didn't say, I am going to make you a father of many nations. He said, I have made you a father of many nations. When it was impossible for he and Sarah to ever have a baby. You know, because his lineage, that becoming a father of many nations, he was to become a father of many nations through Sarah, not through Hagar, not through anybody else. And God said, I have made you the father of many nations. And the Bible says he called those things that be not. See, it was not as though he was the father of many nations. He called those things which be not as though they were. Well, was God lying about it when he called Abraham the father of many nations? Well, look at the whole Jewish nation today. He is the father of many nations. So God was not lying about it. God knew some things that you can't know with your natural mind. And that's the way it is in every area of life. So Brother Hagin says, faith calls those things which be not as though they were. After teaching on the subject of faith for the past 65 years at the time of this writing, I have learned there is nothing quite so hard for Christians as calling those things that be not as though they were. Many honest, sincere, good people think they would be lying if they did this, so they fail to do it. But I want you to consider for a moment that the Bible tells us that God cannot lie, and God calls those things that be not as though they were. He said, when I was a Baptist minister, he means after he was raised up from the deathbed, you know, now, he hung around some Pentecostal folks because they talked about faith and they talked about healing. But he had gone, as a young man, he had gone to the Baptist church. So he becomes a pastor. This is just when he's like 18, 19 years old. And he says he's a Baptist and a Baptist minister. But, you know, he's preaching all he can on faith and preaching all he can on healing. Doesn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that time. But he says, as I was a Baptist minister, I had an interesting experience that will help you in your own faith. I went to bed one Sunday night after church feeling fine. I woke up the next morning and the right side of my face was paralyzed. It was numb. You know, it had some kind of palsy. Some types of palsy can be relatively simple, but some can be extremely dangerous. In other words, he'd only half his face worked. Smile, but it's only a half smile. He said, and it was numb. I could reach up there and peach it without feeling the thing. I tried to wrinkle up my forehead, but the right side wouldn't wrinkle. The right side of my mouth wouldn't move either. I said to myself, I know what I'll do. I'll go down to the Full Gospel Tabernacle on Wednesday night and have the pastor anoint me with oil. He can lay hands on me and I will be healed. He said something, just like the woman with the issue of blood. She said, when I touched the hem of his garment, that was her point of contact to believe she was healed. And he said, when that minister lays hands, because that's Bible, you know, in James, he said, if anyone's sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Amen. Let him anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith over him and he will be healed. So he said, I'm going to go down there. I know he believes that. I'm going to get him to pray for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So on Wednesday night, I went down to the Full Gospel Church. They weren't having a healing service, but when the service was over, because a lot of times they'd say, does anybody want to be prayed for? But they didn't do it that night. And so I stood up and said, hey, pastor, well, I want you to pray for my healing before we go. Now, when I opened my mouth to say that, the left side of my mouth sort of ran all the way to my ear, but the right side of my mouth didn't move, period. The pastor told me to come down to the front and he would pray for me. I walked down the aisle, stood in the front of the pulpit, and he anointed me with oil on my forehead. He laid his hand on me and prayed. I don't remember one single word that he said. I didn't pay any attention. I was waiting to hear him say amen, because that's when I turned my faith loose. In other words, that's when I started calling those things that be not as though they were. In other words, the second that man says amen, he says, I am healed. Whether it looks like I am, whether it feels like it I am, whether it seems like I am or not, I am healed. And in this particular case, nothing on the outside changed. His face was still paralyzed. When the pastor said amen, I said in faith, thank God it's gone. That's calling those things that be not as though they were. What does it mean to say something in faith? It means to call those things that be not as though they were. Many honest Christians are afraid to act because they don't know what faith is. Someone asked, well, was the paralysis gone? No, the right side of my face was still dead. You were lying then, someone might say. No, I was acting on the word. After the service, everyone rushed up to me. Now, he means, you know, he's a young person. He's 19, you know, 20 years old. He's got all these young friends, and, you know, he's kind of halfway dating this one old girl. So all his little friends rushed up to him. They said, did the Lord really heal you when Pastor laid his hands on me? I said, he sure did. Well, you know, because they could see, they said, you don't look any different. Do you feel any different? He said, not that I can tell. I said, well, what in the world? If you don't look any different, you don't feel any different, what makes you think the Lord has healed you? He said, I don't think he has. I know he has. What was I doing? I was acting in faith. I dare you to do it. We used to say in Texas, I double dog dare you. I challenge you to act on the word of God. Are you afraid that God lied? No, he didn't lie. You have to be convinced in your own spirit, though. It won't work just out of your head. Glory to God. I didn't try it, I did it. I was single at the time. Listen carefully. I was single at the time I experienced this paralysis in my face. I'd walked a young woman named Imogen to church. We don't have people named Imogen today, but back in those days, you know. My mother's named Inez. You don't hear people named Inez too much, but, you know, she was born in 1933. Imogen. Everybody say Imogen. As I was walking her back home, several of the young people were walking with us, and she said, Kenneth, did the Lord really heal you? I said, he sure did. Well, we noticed when we passed under the street light that you laughed that, you know, only half your face worked. Do you feel any different? Not that I can tell. What makes you think you're healed? I said, I don't think I'm healed. I know I'm healed. Listen to how faith talks. We can see you're not healed and that you admit you don't feel any better. You're just lying about it. I said, no, I'm talking faith. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have. That's how I was raised off a deathbed. The next time you see me, you'll admit it to yourself. Now, why did I say that? Because I knew that I had received it and that my healing had to manifest. Well, we got into Imogene's house. She brought her mother into the living room, put me under her life, and said to her mother, look at Kenneth's face. I couldn't keep from laughing, but only half my face worked. Imogene said, Mama admits you don't look any different. You admit you don't feel any different. What makes you think the Lord heals you? I said again, I don't think he did. I know he did. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. According to the word of God, I'm healed. The prayer of faith, the prayer that calls those things that be not as though they were. The prayer of faith, the prayer that calls those things which be not as though they were, heals the sick. She said, well, pastor didn't pray the prayer of faith for you. If he had, you'd have it. And I can see you don't have it. But I said, yes, I do. I have my healing. Well, Imogene's mother, Miss Alexander, finally spoke up and said, Imogene, I'd be careful if I were you. Maybe Kenneth knows something that we don't know. When he was bedfast, I remember the doctor said, that young man has the strongest willpower of any person I've ever seen in my life. He should have been dead months ago. I don't know how he's lived. I'll give him 90 days at the most. Well, those 90 days have stretched into more than 65 years now. I wasn't healed by willpower. I was healed by faith power. Don't substitute willpower for faith power. You can go for a while on willpower if you're strong will, but you will break sooner or later. That's particularly important when people are trying to be delivered from some sinful habit. It's not just willpower. It's God's power. It's faith power. And I do know something about faith. It has worked for me for more than 65 years. I know that it's not that I'm smart, so smart. I just read in the Bible, and I can share what I've learned with you. I went home that night, went to bed praising God because I was healed. I got up the next morning, and my face was straight. I went to the Alexander's house, wanted them to see him, see. Had a bowl of cereal for breakfast. I was grinning from ear to ear. Imogene said, "Oh, I see you got your healing." Oh, Imogene, she never did get it. She said, "Oh, I see you got your healing." I said, "Yes, I got it last night when Pastor anointed me with oil and prayed for me." She said, "Well, you didn't have it when you left here." You see, if I'd been walking by that kind of faith, it never would have materialized. Her kind of faith does not call those things that be not as though they were. Do you get it? Say, "I get it."
Amen.
Amen. Now, here's a prescription for help and healing. Read these carefully. Read them slowly. Here's the instructions. Here's Dr. Mark. Here's he telling you what to do. Read them carefully. Read them slowly. Read them meditatively. Read them out loud to yourself. Glory to God. And then, see, read it 3 or 4 times. Read it out loud. Slowly, carefully, meditatively. And then make the confession associated with the scripture out loud and say it with great boldness and say it with great confidence. And do this 3 times a day. Once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and before you go to bed. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed. Not gonna be, by whose stripes you were healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the word healed here, and I could preach on this easily for 30 minutes, but the word healed here is not talking about emotional healing. It's not talking about spiritual healing. The word healed there is a direct reference to physical healing. By his stripes, we were physically healed. A lot of modern day charismatic songs talk about being healed, but if you know the author and know anything about the group singing it, they don't mean physical healing. They mean spiritual healing. We don't get spiritual healing. You don't need to be healed spiritually. You need to become a brand new person. Amen. But this is very definitely talking about physical healing. By whose stripes you were, past tense, healed. Now, not you will be healed sometime in the future if you believe, but you were healed when Jesus took those stripes and bruises for you. See, healing in that sense is not really a promise, but it's something that's already been done for us. It's a redemptive privilege that belongs to every single person that's ever been born again. And anybody that will receive it by faith. Glory to God. Amen. See, like any provision or any promise. Sometimes God promises things. Sometimes he offers us things. Sometimes he's already provided something for us through redemption. It's already been done. But whatever it is, you have to appropriate it by faith. It's not automatically yours. One of the greatest truths I ever learned way, way back in the 70s was you have to possess what God gives. Doesn't a sinner have to receive salvation if he does? It belongs to him. Jesus doesn't have to go die again. They're already saved. He's already provided salvation, but they do have to receive it. And that's true with all the blessings of God. We have to receive what God provides. Can you say amen? Amen. So healing is not just God giving favor to a few select ones. It's not just a mercy. It is a mercy. Every time anybody gets healed, it's the mercy of God. But you know, if it was just a favor and wasn't based on redemptive legal grounds, then you could say, well, I mean, he's God. If he wants to favor that person, not favor me. Or sometimes he shows one mercy, but it doesn't show another one. No, this is a redemptive reality. It's a covenant right that belongs to you because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. In other words, healing is provided and included in redemption. Sickness was dealt with on the cross just like sin was dealt with on the cross. The purpose of his sin bearing, that is him taking our place and bearing our sin for us, was so that we could be saved. The purpose of his sickness bearing was so that we could be healed. And when he did one, he did the other. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. So it's not begging. Here's some of that interjection. It's not begging God for something. Glory to God. Or trying to get him to do something. It's just receiving what God has already done for us. Glory to God. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. So faith says, glory to God. I see that it belongs to me and I take it by faith. Glory to God. And so again, you know, you don't have to try and convince God to do for it. Because you're hurting so bad, or because you have such a terrible need, or because it's causing such a hardship in your life. Listen, God saw your need before you were ever born. He saw your need. Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. God already saw your need. He was already moved by compassion towards you. And He did something about it. He sent Jesus on the cross to die for you. And by His stripes you were healed. And you were delivered. And he became poor so that you might be abundantly supplied financially. All of those things. Amen. Amen. So it's just a matter of receiving what He did for you by faith. By faith. So just take it. Just take it. That's what faith does. Faith is a taker. It just takes from the good hand of God. Again, you still may have some symptoms for a while. You may or may not. And you may think, I don't feel healed. I don't look healed. I'm not strong. I'm weak. And my body's this. And my body's that. And I can't control this. Do you believe you're healed? Yeah, but I can't control this. You know, my levels are wrong. Don't say that. I am healed, glory to God. Amen. Because why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight and not by feelings. Feelings don't determine truth. Everybody say that. Say feelings.
Feelings.
Don't determine truth.
Don't determine truth.
The Word of God determines what's true. Amen. So you call those things which be not as though they were and say, I believe. I didn't say I didn't have any symptoms. I didn't say I don't have a big knot on my arm. But I say I am healed in spite of the knot. Somebody saying, are you denying you have a knot? No, that'd be lying. I'm saying I'm healed regardless of the knot. That's calling those things which be not as though they were. Glory to God. Amen. And if we're in faith, we are not moved by sight or feelings. We're not denying symptoms. We're just denying that they have the final say. Let the Word of God. Always let the Word of God have the final say in your life. I don't just do this for healing. Political issues of the day, you know, behind the political issue is something that's either right or wrong, something that's either God or demonic, something that's either good or something evil. And I just let the Word of God have the final say. Amen. Not what other people say. Praise God. And so we let the Word of God have the final say. We agree with the Word. Everybody say agree.
Agree.
We agree with the Word and believe it and say what it says. Do you know that confession, I'm sure you already know this, most of you, but confession in the Greek literally means to agree with or to say the same thing. If I confess the Word of God, that means I agree with the Word of God. Literally means to say the same thing, to agree with what God says and to say the same thing. So if God says I'm the father of many nations, even though I'm 100 years old and my wife can't ever have a baby, then I am the father of many nations because God said it.
Amen.
Now, if God didn't say it, that's a different thing. But God said I am healed. So I say I'm healed. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So here's our confession based on this scripture. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I was, not gonna be, but I was healed. Therefore, I am healed right now. Can you say amen? And then, Isaiah 53. We've got to move quickly here. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. It says, surely, not maybe, surely. Brother Copeland said, I got healed on surely one time. I like it. Surely, without question, without doubt, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now the word griefs and sorrows literally in the Hebrew, translated everywhere else this way in the Old Testament, are the word sicknesses and pains. And so and you understand this is Isaiah 53. This is talking about Jesus. This is a picture of Jesus dying on the cross. So this is what Jesus did for us in redemption. Later on in this, you know, this chapter, it talks about the lamb being led as a sheep before its shearers, and He made His rich upon His grave in the wicked, and by His stripes were healed, and Himself took our infirmities, and He bore our sickness. In other words, this is talking about Jesus dying on the cross. Surely He has borne our griefs and sorrows. Surely He has borne our sicknesses, griefs, and sorrows, and pains. And we know that's the absolute right way to translate it, because in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 17, Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, translates Isaiah 53, 4 as Himself took our, He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So putting those two scriptures together, let's look at those words, bore, carried, and took. Well, we know He took or bore or carried our sins so that we could be saved. But these scriptures are also telling us, along with 1 Peter 2:24, that He bore, He carried, He took our sicknesses and diseases. When? When He died on the cross. By His stripes, by the bruising. The word stripes there can be translated His wounds, His bruises. Amen. Glory to God. And the word born, you know what the word born is in the Hebrew? It's the word NASA, NASA. Think of liftoff. That's what it means. The word born means to lift off. If I bear something from you, I take it off of you. He took it off of him, of David, and he bore it. He took it upon himself. Amen. Glory to God. So he took off of us. He carried or bore it for us. So if Margaret, you know, if Margaret's got something real heavy in her arms, you know, sometimes, you know, she's got to where she leaves the big water thing, so she buys like 24 things of water downstairs for me to take up. But if she's trying to carry them or something, I'd say, here, let me take that from you. Himself took our infirmity. I take it off of her. I remove it. I bear it. Let me carry that for you. Let me take it for you. And then it comes off of her, and I bear it. I carry it. I take it. Glory to God. That's the idea. Can you see that? Glory to God. Glory to God. So on the cross at Calvary, Jesus bore, he carried, he took off our sicknesses and diseases. Glory to God. So we don't have to bear them. Why should Margaret carry the heavy load if I'm going to carry it for her? No sense in both of us carrying it. I got it. I'll carry it. Glory to God. So we need not bear what Jesus bore for us. And then verse number 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The chastisement of the word peace there is shalom. The chastisement of our total well-being, total welfare was upon him. The Amplified Bible says the chastisement necessary to obtain our total well-being was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Isaiah, Jesus hadn't come to the cross yet. Isaiah is looking into the future, and he's in the spirit. He sees, in essence, what was happening to Jesus spiritually on the cross. And he looks and he says, by his bruises, by his stripes, you are healed. Peter was on the other side of the cross. Amen. Jesus has already been crucified, and he's looking back, and he said, by his stripes, you were healed. And we are, and we were, and I am. Amen. Say, I am healed. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so, here's something. Listen, because this is so important. We are worthy to receive all that he did for us, because Jesus made us worthy by the blood of the Lamb, by his blood. Brother Hagin said, healing is not a bonus for the elite, but it's bread for the children. Glory to God. And then you can think, yeah, but I've dealt with this a long time. Has nothing to do with it. Time doesn't nullify the word. Time doesn't change the word. But I've been addicted to cigarettes or whatever it is for, I don't care. It has nothing to do with it. The word of God says you're free, so you say you're free. So here's our confession based on that scripture. Boldly in faith say, because you agree with what God's word says, Jesus bore my sickness, he carried my pain, therefore I do not bear them, and by his stripes I am healed. Say it morning, say it noon, say it night. Glory to God. When the word is in your mouth, then it's working in your flesh. And then Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3. Psalms 103, praise God, says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all my iniquities. Who forgives all my iniquities. Excuse me. And who heals all my diseases. Amen. So again, we see that healing is a benefit of redemption. Why are we forgiven? Because Jesus died on the cross for us. Why are we healed? Because Jesus died on the cross for us. Here we see forgiveness of sins and healing linked together, and it always, always goes back to the cross. That's when it was legally provided. You know, a lot of people shout about forgiveness, but they get real quiet about healing. But this scripture says he forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. If the first part of that scripture is true, and it is, then so is the second. Then so is the second. He heals all. He heals all. But notice, why do you think he says forget not all his benefits? Because there's a danger of you forgetting them. And there's a lot of different applications of that, but I think this is what you have to be careful about, you know, with the group I'm talking about. You can say, yeah, I know that, I believe that, I agree with that, and I've used my faith dozens and dozens of times and got results and got victory. But then time goes on, and you just get a little sloppy in your faith, And it's just a little easier to get to help in the natural. You know, and before you know it, if you're not careful, you'll be saying all kinds of things you shouldn't be saying. You've forgotten the benefit. Amen. No, you can't forget the benefit. Amen. You can't live off yesterday's manna. Glory to God. I said, you can't live off yesterday's manna. You have to go and get fresh truth, and you have to keep the Word of God alive and real in your heart. Because if you just kind of forget about it and just kind of coast spiritually with your faith life, then all of a sudden you won't realize what's happened. But we're trying to get the Word that we know. We hear the Word of God and we agree with it with our minds, but we want to believe it in our heart. But the reverse will take place. It'll go from your heart back up to your head, and you'll just simply agree with it, but you don't really believe it in your heart anymore. And that's deceptive, see? That's deceptive because it looks like faith and it sounds like faith because you agree with it, but it's not faith. For it to actively work in your life, you have to believe it in your heart and not have any doubt in your head whatsoever. Glory to God. And so this exhorts us not to forget His benefits. Amen? Not to forgive His benefits. Glory to God. If you don't actively remember healing belongs to you, then you won't exercise faith for it. And you'll start talking like it's not yours without even realizing what you're doing. And you won't fight for it like you once did. Amen. But listen, because we're interjecting teaching about what real faith is, you don't fight to get victory. You fight from your place of victory. You see the difference? Glory to God. You don't fight for healing or anything else that belongs to you. You fight from healing. In other words, you don't fight to get what Jesus bought and paid for. You just receive it by faith, but then you must fight to keep what He gave you and not let the devil or the world steal it from you. You're not trying to make something true. You're holding fast to what is true. Glory to God. And you do have to fight for it. I know Keith Moore, you know, I mentioned that he did healing school. Brother Hagin did it. That's what his little book, this little book right here, was based on. It's the first year of him teaching healing school. And so after that, you know, because he's looking over the whole ministry and doing crusades and everything, Brother Keith Moore did healing school. They still have healing school every day on the campus of Rhema all year long. Well, for the next 10 years, Brother Keith Moore did it. And I think it was Brother Copeland that asked him, they said, well, what would you say was the thing that helped people receive their healing more than anything else you saw in all those years of working at healing school? And I pricked up my ears. I thought, boy, he's going to say something about belief, or he's going to say something about confession, or he's going to say something about, you know, holding fast your confession, or something about, you know, not giving it to the circumstances. But you know what he said? He said it was those people that came to healing school that had a fighting spirit and said, I will not be defeated by this. I will not quit, and I will receive what God has for me. He said, that's the number one. He said those kind of people seem to always get it. That's interesting, isn't it? I said, that's interesting. So here's the confession based on that scripture. I will not forget God's benefits. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. And then say it morning, noon, and night, and read those scriptures and let them soak. You know what I mean when you let it soak? Sometimes we go fishing, and you know, I fish really, really slow. It aggravates most people the way I fish. Really, really slow. Night fish, you know, let that bait and they'll say, well, Pastor Mark, he lets it soak. You know, and they're hopping it. And it's real aggravating to me because every once in a while when somebody like Doug's over there fishing, he's popping it a little bit as they're fishing on bottom, that'll trigger strikes. And I'm fishing slow and they won't look at mine. But there's other days you can hop it like a bunny rabbit and they won't touch it. But when you let it soak and you fish it real slow, and Doug will go, oh God, I hate fishing that way. And sometimes I'll say, hey Doug, not only do you have to, sometimes it's not just fishing slow. Sometimes I'll say, you have to let it soak. In other words, not just fish slow. You got to let it just stay there and then move it just every once in a while. Amen. But if you want to catch fish, you do what they want or you do without. So let these scriptures soak. Everybody say, I let the scriptures soak. Now, very, very important. Oh, glory to God. If symptoms persist, call those things to be none of the world. Romans 8:11. This is so powerful here. Romans 8:11. Hang in there. We're almost through. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? If you're born again, He lives in you. If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Well, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And he will give life to your mortal body. What is your mortal body? A mortal body is one that's subject to arthritis and subject to back pain and subject to high blood pressure and subject to stomach problems and subject to liver problems and subject to you know, all kinds of diseases and sicknesses and diseases. That's your mortal body. But he will quicken. He will quicken. He will quicken your mortal body. What does it mean to be quickened? To quicken means to make alive, to energize, to restore to health, to bring life to something that was formerly dead or feeling the effects of death and sickness that have been working in your body. See, all sickness, I heard F.F. Bosworth say this, I read it from F.F. Bosworth many, many years ago. He said, all sickness and disease is incipient death. Well, I didn't know what incipient meant, so I looked it up. That means it's the beginning stages of. You know, if you get a cold like the race car driver just 3 or 4 weeks ago, and you don't get over it, and it goes from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, then you're going to die. And so when death, when sickness is working in your body, in your mortal body, they're just subject to these things, you know, but the Spirit of God will quicken. He'll make alive. He'll give life to your mortal body. He'll heal your mortal body. This is so powerful. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, listen to this. The same Spirit and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Bible says that Jesus was raised from the dead by the Spirit of God. It says he was raised from the dead by the power of God, another scripture. Then another scripture says he was raised from the dead by the glory of God. He was raised by the Spirit, the power, and the glory. Those are all synonymous terms. If you're raised by the Spirit, you're raised by power and glory. If you're raised by the glory of God, you're raised by the Spirit and power. The same glory, that same power, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Resurrection power dwells in you. And that resurrection power will quicken your mortal body. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Skip. So here's our confession. Glory to God. The Spirit of God dwells in me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And he is quickening my mortal body right now. And then Mark 11, 23, 24, where we started. You know, the sane part of faith is not an accident. It's not a side thought. Jesus and the Bible emphasize confession. They emphasize speaking your faith and the importance of that. Glory to God. The law of faith is believe with your heart and say with your mouth. Whosoever includes people who have struggled with some sickness or issue for years. Now, this doesn't say whosoever shall say into this mountain. Doesn't say whoever. You know what most people do? They want to talk to God about their mountain. But that's not what the Scripture says. They want to tell everybody else about their problem. But that's not what the Scripture says. That tells us to speak to the mountain and command it to be gone, not to talk to it. Don't say, Lord, Lord, look at my mountain, but mountain, look at my Lord. So speak to it and tell it to go or to be removed. Or you can pray and believe you receive, according to Mark 11, 24, which says, when you pray, believe you receive. Not going to receive someday, but when you pray, believe that you receive. You see the word receive there? If you look at 70 out of 100 modern translations, it will say received, E-D. It literally means believe you received. You believe you got it. I believe you got it. I believe God heard and answered my prayer. I believe he gave it to me. I got it. It's mine now. Thank you, Lord. The prayer of faith always ends with, thank you, Lord. It's mine. I have it. Thank you, Lord. I am healed. Thank you, Lord. My need is met. Thank you, Lord. I am delivered. Thank you, Lord. I am free. I got it. Whatever you ask you for, you believe he gave it to you, and you say that you got it. Praise God. You don't wait for some feeling. You don't wait for some symptom or circumstances. You don't wait for anything to change. You believe right now that you got it. And you believe it's yours, and you say it's yours, and so you say in this case, I am healed. So here's your confession based on these two scriptures. Glory to God. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I speak to this mountain. You can name the issue. I speak to this arthritis. I speak to this back pain. I speak to this blood pressure issue. Be removed. Be cast out of my body and out of my life. And I believe in my heart, and I do not now doubt. I have what God says I have. When I prayed, I believed, I received, So I have it right now, and I am healed. Now, after that initial command, you can just simply say, you know, you don't have to command it to go because you already commanded it to go. After that initial command, you can say, thank God it's gone. Thank God. That's your confession. That's what you're saying. Thank God it's gone. Thank God it's gone. Thank God I'm free. Thank God I'm delivered. Thank God I'm healed. Thank God the need is met. Glory to God, it's gone. I have it. I call those things that be not as though they were. It's mine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And if you have 3 or 4 days of bad symptoms or 3 or 4 months of bad symptoms, doesn't change your confession in one bit. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I said, can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We agree with the word. We agree with the word. Say this. Say this right where you're sitting. Say, I believe. In the name of Jesus. And I do not doubt. In the name of Jesus, I speak to this mountain. Now you got one you can name, name it. I speak to this issue. Say it. I speak to this. Be removed. Be cast out of my body and out of my life. I have what God says I have. When I prayed, I believed I received. So I've got it right now. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Then don't be moved by feelings. Don't be moved by symptoms. Don't be moved by time. Somebody says a lack of something positive happening is a negative, is a contradictory circumstance. No, there's something bad's not happening, just nothing's happening. That's a circumstance. That's a symptom. I'm not moved by that. Amen. See, God's word is our final authority. It's medicine to all our flesh. His word is covenant. See, we're not just, it's covenant. See, that God entered into a covenant with Jesus, and you're in Jesus, and God's not going to break His solemn, sacred agreement with Jesus that says, I back up everything that I have promised you and all those that belong to you. Glory to God. He always keeps His word. Amen. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Say it again. Say, by His stripes,
I was healed.
He bore my sicknesses, so I don't have to bear them. He heals all my diseases. The Spirit of God is quickening my body. I command all sickness and pain. Leave my body. I believe that I am healed. Now say this on other realms. Sin has no power over me. Sin has no control over me. I'm not obligated. I'm not a debtor to the flesh to obey the impulses of it. Jesus became poor. So that I might have an abundant supply. My every financial need is fully supplied. I am free. I am delivered. I am healed. And I am blessed. Now go ahead and praise God about that. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. 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 Socorrisa tele corrisa tele corrisa tele corriti le corriti le corriti. Our only job is to receive. Amen. We don't make it happen. We just receive what He did. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 So take that. Take that. Take that and do it. Do it morning. Do it noon. Do it night. Do it. Make those confessions. Follow it according to the prescriptions. And just refuse to be moved by anything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like David. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah. My body said, yeah, you try to run over a troop this week or leap a wall this week, you're going to flat on your face. Well, just watch me then, bless God. You can't even improve on this. So let's say this one last thing that will be dismissed. Say, I am who God says I am. I have right now what God says I have, and I can do what God says I can do. Turn to somebody and tell them, you are healed, and you're dismissed. Praise God.
I call you Jesus.